familiar. Okay, guys, let's read a couple verses real fast. Just keep it right here, Brother Rick, for a moment. Let's read this. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found in our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance and afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labor, sleepless nights, hunger. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. By truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live. As punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that we have the freedom, Lord, in this country to come and worship you. Thank you, Father God. We ask you right now to bless our president, Lord, and let him make good, godly decisions. Bless America. Let America have revival like never before. Thank you, Father God, for your will being done in the nation of Israel, Lord, and your hand of protection on Israel, Lord. Thank you for revival breaking out in that land, Lord. Thank you that many Jews and many Muslims are coming to you right now, Lord God. Thank you for revival throughout the globe, Lord. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service and in our homes. Thank you for your healing power and your encouragement. Let us not leave here the same way we came. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So, guys, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians today. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing a letter to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church had they had some obstacles. They had some things in their life that they really needed to give up. They really needed to just give it all to God and stop living halfway in the world and halfway in the church. Does that make sense, guys? Okay, so this is where we're going to start. And I couldn't be more excited. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. Working together with him. This is the Apostle Paul saying that I'm in a partnership with the Most High God. I am in a covenant relationship with the Lord. Okay, the Lord has saved me. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to say that God has saved me? You know what I mean? Because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. And Paul at this point is very much aware of the fact that even though he was very zealous for the Jewish religion, he was not following the Most High God. And so now as a saved person, he, as zealous as he was for the Hebrew religion, for Judaism, he is just as zealous or on fire, if not more, for Christianity. He realizes what he has been saved from. So he goes through a lot of trials, a lot of suffering. But listen to me this morning. He perseveres through these hard times. You hear what I'm saying this morning? He perseveres, and he is able to bear much fruit for the kingdom. So I want everybody in here, let's make up our minds right now. I'm not going to give up. Yeah, my life could be a little different, could be a little better. Maybe I could, you know, this could have happened or that could have happened or I wish this wouldn't have happened. But listen, perseverance, endurance, trust in the Most High God. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Don't give up, all right? God does promise a good result. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So this Corinthian church, you know, there was a lot of folks in there that were still involved in some sexual immorality and a lot of things that really had no business in the church. You know what I'm saying? And the Apostle Paul is making this point here. It's like, listen, the message of the good news has reached your ears, okay? There's no, you can't say, well, I didn't know about it. Okay, you have received the good news. Same goes for all of us, right? If you've heard the good news, if you've heard the gospel, you can't say one day, well, God, I didn't know. Nobody ever told me. Yeah, he did. Yeah, we know about the good news. We know that we're sinners, and we know that we need Jesus Christ. Amen? So Paul's talking to these folks, and he's saying, don't let the grace of God be in vain in your life. Does that make sense to you guys this morning? I hate to think about it, but there could be people in this church service right now that have heard the gospel, that have heard the good news, and have decided, well, that's not for me. I don't mind coming here because it makes Mama happy, and Mama will give me $5 for the gas tank or whatever. You know, there's a lot of reasons why you can be in church and not actually be a Christian. You know what I mean? None of them really seem to make a lot of sense to me now that I am a Christian, but I do remember as a young man knowing that the Word of God was true, but saying, nah, not today. Nah, maybe later. I got to get my ducks in a row first, man. Maybe after college, maybe after a couple kids, maybe after I marry. You know, don't put it off, okay? Amen. Can I get a witness? Okay, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Look at 1 John right here, guys. 1 John 2 and verse 19. Now, what John's talking about here is, people leaving, man. Times get tough. Persecution hits the church. And people just walk out. This is what he's talking about. So he has a little something to say about it. They went out from us, talking about these folks that left the church. And it's not about church attendance. It's not about moving from one church to another. It's talking about sitting in a church service and not having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about being perfect. It's not about having a sinless life. It's about accepting that gift from the sinless, spotless Lamb. You know what I mean? And we don't want to, let me see, how can I say this? Preachers and me, sometimes, man, we can overcomplicate the simplicity of the gospel message. And don't get me wrong, I mean, when we're talking about Scripture, there's definitely the deep end of the pool. And as a baby Christian, you don't need to just dump yourself into the deep end of the pool because you're going to get lost. But we want to start at the shallow end of the pool and we can enjoy ourselves. What I'm trying to say, man, is the gospel message is simple enough for a child to understand it. Okay, but the more you dig into the Word, there is a lot of deep stuff. But God will show himself to you as you grow in that relationship. Anyways, I don't want to get sidetracked. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. Okay, like I said, it's not about somebody left the church and we're like, well, Sister Claudia, I guess they didn't love Jesus after all because I heard they went down to the church down the way. Not talking about that. Talking about people that have heard the gospel message and a little temptation comes up, a little trials, a little storms, a little persecution. They're like, well, yeah, nah, this ain't for me. Okay, not talking to perfect folks this morning, but I do want to make this statement again. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, and I don't know who has and who hasn't. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not a bunch of rigmarole. It's not a bunch of hoops to jump through. Okay, it's not about following a bunch of rules. It's about realizing that I am a sinner. And I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Okay, moving forward, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. This is the Apostle Paul again. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's an awesome feeling. There's no better feeling in the world to know that when I die, whenever that happens, I'm going to be immediately in the arms of my beloved Lord and Savior. That's a wonderful feeling to have. And I know that, I don't know who all, but I'm sure most of us have that feeling. We have that peace is what I'm talking about. Okay, today is the day. That's what Paul's basically saying right here. He's saying a favorable time. Well, what would be a favorable time? When you decide it's the right time? No, not necessarily. This favorable time is the day that you can still hear his voice, the day that you still feel that tugging and that pulling, because God does not always have to strive with you. You know what I mean? But if you still feel that tugging, you need to get saved today. And I want you to do that today. It'll be wonderful. It'll be awesome. Can I get a witness? Okay. For he says, in a favorable time, I have listened to you. And in a day of salvation, I've helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. When's a favorable time? When I still have air in my lungs. You know what I mean? Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. And if you've lived any time at all, you've already figured that out, man. We've lost a lot of loved ones, a lot of close friends. And a lot of them that I thought I'd see in a couple of days, I've never got to see again. You know, God decides when we go. That's not up to us. But today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3 and verse 15. Look at that with me. As has just been said today, if you hear his voice, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. That's such a powerful verse. If you're in this service right now, you can still be saved. If you hear what I'm saying, you can still be saved. And I hope I'm not boring all the fine people that have already accepted Jesus Christ, but this, there ain't nothing more important than this to talk about. You know what I mean? This is the most important thing. So if you feel that tugging this morning, I want you to meet with me. I want you to ask Jesus to become your Lord and Savior. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's go to the next slide. We put no obstacle in anyone's way. This is 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 3. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. Paul's like, you know what? We're the real deal here. Me and Tim, me and Titus, me and Barnabas, we are the real deal, okay? We didn't put any obstacles in anybody's way. We're not charlatans. We're not trying to manipulate no situation. We're not trying to rip anybody off. We're not trying to fill our pockets, okay? We don't want anything to hinder our ministry. And I want to speak to you guys about that for a second. You know, and this is tough, man, because this one, you know, really burns me too. We all have a ministry. You understand that, right? We all have a sphere of influence. Those people around us, some might have more than others, but we all have a witness, and I talk about that all the time. Now, it's very important. The Apostle Paul is pointing this out right here. He didn't want to do anything to hinder his ministry. He didn't want to do anything that would bring a reproach on the good Lord. Does that make sense this morning? So we need to think about that, because we have a ministry. And I always say this little statement right here. If somebody is mad at us and they want to say something bad about us, it's good to make it to where they have to lie about us. Does that make sense? Where they don't have any real ammunition other than saying, hey, those guys are living the Word of God. Those guys are following the Bible. You know what I mean? And they might not agree with us following the Bible. Well, that's okay. They have a different master than we have. You know what I mean? But let's not give Satan a foothold. Let's not give Satan any ammunition. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Like, look, man, I've worked hard to make sure I didn't get entangled in nothing. You know what I mean? I am here just to preach Jesus Christ. I am here because I am not my own. I've been bought at a price, and I want to do what God has called me to do. Amen. Does that make sense? We put no obstacle in anyone's way. So do I have to get circumcised, Paul? No, not if you don't want to get circumcised. Do I have to put $80 in the offering plate every other Sunday? Yes, you do. No. No obstacles in your way. That was a joke. I got to stop joking like that. We put no obstacles in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. Okay. This is not on the slides, and you will not find this in the bulletin. However, you will find this in the Word of God. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but we're going to go from 2 Corinthians all the way over to 1 Corinthians, which you will find is right before 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2 in verse 1 is where we're going right here. This is the Apostle Paul's first letter to the wild and crazy Corinthian church. Okay. Paul said, you know what? I put no obstacles before you. I didn't try to overcomplicate something that is so simple like the gospel. And sometimes the gospel is hard for us to grab a hold of because of its simplicity. You're like, let me get this straight. God sent his son to earth to live in human flesh to die for my sins. So Jesus Christ's righteousness was imputed on me and my sins were placed on his back. Well, that doesn't seem quite fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. That's the wonderful, beautiful thing about what Jesus Christ did. For God so loved the world Amen. Give him some praise, man. It's okay. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. And I, when I came to you, talking about the Corinthian church, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. See, the Apostle Paul, man, he was like super educated, man. He was a Pharisee. He was trained under Gamaliel. Man, he had an amazing pedigree, and he could go to these Gentiles and just blow their mind with all kinds of crazy stuff, man. And he wouldn't be lying about it. But he said, you know what? That stuff can come later. All right? It's not about how eloquent I can talk or anything like that, because the power is in the Word of God. You know, it's the Word of God that can't return void. It's the Word of God that is sharper than a two-edged sword. You know what I mean? So the Apostle Paul says, look, when I came to you, I didn't talk crazy. I didn't try and show you how cool I was. I put no obstacles before you. You have no reason to say you didn't hear the gospel, because that's all I gave you. That's all I gave you, man, was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's where we got to start, folks. That's what we got to have, okay? Before you worry about your name up in lights or anything like that, any of that rubbish, looky here. You're talking about your dreams coming true? Listen, this is what your dream needs to be right here. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? That's the most important decision you will ever make. Well, I beg to disagree. When I bought my house, that was an important decision. But this has this is way bigger than that, man. We're talking about eternal consequences. Can I get a witness? Well, I feel like I'm going to be paying on my mortgage for eternity. Preach it, brother. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. And when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. I didn't try and blow your mind with how much stuff I know. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Isn't that good? That's where we got to start with right there, man. All right, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. Amen. For the wages of sin is what? For the wages of sin is death. You know what I mean? That's eternal separation from our Lord and Savior. Okay, so we got a problem. But Jesus Christ wants to fix that problem. Amen. All right, tell the truth, shame the devil. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 4. But as servants of God, the Apostle Paul, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance. That's a very important little thing right there, Cindy Sue. That's a very important thing, Sister Claudia, Paul Rott. Endure, okay? Persevere. Don't give up, because, man, the Apostle Paul, well, we're about to get into a lot of it, actually, but the Apostle Paul went through some crazy stuff, okay? He went through some crazy, crazy stuff, but he didn't give up. You know what happens when we don't give up as Christians? We end up bearing some really good fruit. We end up having some really productive stuff happen in our relationship with the Lord. We end up being able to produce a lot of a good quality fruit for the kingdom of God. You know what I mean? It's through the hard times when we're going to get closer to God. You know what I mean? That's one of the reasons why we have those hard times, so we run into His arms. So if you're going through a hard time and you haven't done that yet, you might be able to speed it up a bit. You might be able to speed it up a bit if you run into His arms. You know what I'm saying? Okay. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance. Underline that in your neighbor's Bible. By great endurance. In afflictions. What are you going to endure, Paul? Afflictions. Raise your hands if you really enjoy afflictions. The Apostle Paul, man, yeah, he had a crummy past, man. I mean, his job, his self-proclaimed job was to hunt down Christians and arrest them and have them put to death, because he saw Christianity as a plague, as something horrible in his pure religion of Judaism. And he's like, this has got to be wiped out, man. Okay, that was his past, but now he's a new creation in Christ. So, listen, whatever you've done in the past, even if it was this morning, it can all be washed away right now, okay? Because this guy was turned on fire for the Lord, and he literally turned the world, well, I don't mean like literally turned the world upside down, but he turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Okay, But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance. Don't give up. In afflictions, hardships. I don't like hardships. You like hardships? I don't like hardships. Ships. Oh my gosh. Okay, anyways, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings. This is what the Apostle Paul went through, man. Afflictions, man. Okay? Afflictions. His people were getting sick, man. He was getting sick. Paul had some real deal ailments, man. Afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings. And that sounds good. Beatings. I just got beat up because I love Jesus Christ. I just got beat up because I just told these people about Jesus Christ, and they didn't like my message. You know what I mean? Listen, you might have a bad day here and there, and somebody might poke fun at you a little bit because you got a Jesus fish tattoo or something. But listen, man, you ain't went through nothing. You have not went through nothing. By great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments. What about that, man? Being thrown into prison for not doing anything but preaching the gospel. Imprisonments, riots. How you like to have that to your resume? Yeah, I was seeing if I could, maybe work with you in the ministry. Well, it says here, like you're fluent in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, and it looks like you've been involved in some riots. Yeah, but I had nothing to do with it. I was just preaching the gospel. Imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, and hunger. None of that sounds good to me, man. I don't like any of that stuff. And here we are in our little worlds, and man, we do have some hardships. We really do. We have some hardships, and we have some pain, and we go through trials and storms, and the good Lord knows what we're going through. But look, the Apostle Paul is showing us how we can deal with this stuff, because we're going to have them. You know, through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom, okay? It's not the tribulation that brings us into the kingdom. It's the fact that we are headed toward the kingdom, that we belong to Jesus. We're going to go through some hard stuff, man. We're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some storms, and the Lord chastens those he loves. So, man, we're going to get it, okay? We're going to go through some tough stuff in our world. But check it out. So did the Apostle Paul, and he said, man, I endured it, okay? I endured it because it's worth it, man, to spread the gospel. So whatever we're going through, man, I don't mean to make light of what you're going through, and we all have our troubles, man. But it's worth it, man, because God's doing something. I promise you, God's doing something. Amen. Can I get a witness? We would never pick any of this stuff out for ourselves. Paul didn't say, you know what, Tim? Be a good day to cause a riot. You know what, Tim? Let's see if we can get thrown in the slammer tonight and whipped a bunch of times. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not grow weary. Amen? Do you ever get weary? Like, not weary because you stay up too late and you should have went to bed at an appropriate time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you ever get tired of trying to do the right thing? Well, the good book says, don't get tired of it. And let us not grow weary of doing good. Well, what's in it for me? For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That's the Apostle Paul again right there, man. Man, life's hard. Everybody's not always going to like you. Things aren't always going to go your way. But here's the deal, man. Don't give up. Endure. Persevere. All right? There's a blessing waiting around the corner. We're talking about eternal salvation for other people, man, because the unbeliever is watching you to see how you're going to handle that situation. And that's very true, man, whether you realize it or not, because, I mean, that's very convicting to me, because the unbeliever will watch you to see if you're real, to see if what you're leaning on is real. You know what I mean? But also the unbelievers like can be watching you like, man, is this real? Is this really real? Because I don't want to waste my time, but I'm hurting, man. And if this is real, I need this. Amen? And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So yeah, we can go through a lot of hard stuff, but there's going to be a harvest. And harvest is good. All God's people said, and harvest is good. Now say it with an Italian accent. I can't do accents at all. 2 Corinthians. But anyways, let's go to the next slide, beloved. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul's went through a lot of crazy stuff. You went through a lot of crazy stuff. And guess what, man? We're going to endure. Amen? Well, how did you endure, Paul? By purity, by living right. Well, how do you live right, man? Because sometimes it's really hard to live right, man. All this stuff's going on. I don't want to be set aside for God's glory all the time. Sometimes I just want to let my hair down and be a buffoon and all that. No. Remember, people are watching us. By purity, knowledge. Okay, knowledge of what? What about knowledge of the Word? That'll help you stay on the right path, won't it? Knowledge of the Word of God. And that's why we need to stay in the Word. And you don't have to, it's always good to read the book of the Bible. But, you know, you might be the type of person where you need to listen to it on CD or download it or something. There's always a way to get the Word of God in you. And if you have a commute, most of you have some sort of commute somewheres, you know, you can listen to the Word while you're driving around. But we need to get the Word of God in our heart, and we need to spend time in God's Word. Amen. By purity, knowledge, patience. How in the world can I be patient? Knowledge of the Word. How can I live a pure life? Knowledge of the Word. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness. How can I be kind to somebody that is so rude and crude and mean and does not deserve for me to be kind? By knowledge of the Word. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. Paul goes through hard times, but he endures. How can he endure? How can we endure? Okay? How can we live a pure life? By knowledge of the Word. But that's not it, man. Okay? Check this out. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit. Guess what, believers? You know what? You have the Holy Spirit living inside you. No, I didn't go to that kind of church growing up. No, it doesn't matter what kind of church you went to growing up. You're here now, so give yourself a pat on the back. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. That's silly. But listen, all of you have if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He does. Okay? And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And through that Holy Spirit, guess what? You are equipped to do everything God needs you to do. So we don't have to do the things that we don't want to do. And the Apostle Paul messed up a lot, and he talks about it. You know what I mean? But we fall down, we get back up. Donnie, what do we do when we fall down? Say it, Donnie, say it. Back up and regroup. There we go. Donnie taught me that. By truthful speech, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. How can you have genuine love for some knuckleheads? How can you have genuine love for your neighbor who constantly does this horrible thing? How can you have genuine love for somebody that you totally disagree with? Well, if you have genuine love for the Most High God, you can have genuine love for that other person. Amen? And we're supposed to. Verse 7, talking about endurance. By truthful speech, I'm just going to trust in what is true. I'm going to proclaim what is true. Do you ever find yourself, like talking negative about yourself? Ever find yourself talking negative about everybody else? You ever find yourself just talking about a bunch of negative stuff? I've been working on that, man. I used to be really bad about talking down about myself and other folks and stuff. And most of you guys in here, I've written essays about how crummy you are. No, I did not, and I would not do that because I don't spell good. No. But we can be, please forgive me for being so silly, but we can be so negative, man. And Satan loves it when we're negative. I mean, he feeds off of that stuff. And guess what? That negativity is going to bring you to a really bad place of bitterness, man. Okay? Somebody's done you wrong. The good Lord says we need to forgive them. And that's a tall order, man. That is a big deal. But remember, God won't ask you to do something if there's not a way to do it. And in your own person, it might be completely impossible to forgive that person. But I can do all things through Christ. Okay? So, yeah. Life's going to be hard. People are going to treat you unfair. They sure treated the Apostle Paul unfair. And you know what happened to him in the end of it all? He spent a lot of time in a Roman prison. And at the end of it, they cut off his head. Yeah. But he's having a good day right now. He's having a really, really good day right now. Amen. By truthful speech, let's focus on what is true. Okay? If you don't want to be destroyed by all the negativity and everything, if you don't want to be this negative person that people are like, oh, here comes negative Nelly, woo dog, you know, if you don't want to be that type of person, man, focus on what is pure, focus on what is true. What is true? Well, God is true. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Focus on God's promises. Amen? By truthful speech and the power of God. Trust in God, man. Talking about endurance here. By truthful speech and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left hand. That's pretty cool. Okay, so here we go. Apostle Paul saying, you know how we endure, Corinthian church? You can live a set-aside life for Jesus. You can have that powerful witness like me and Timothy have. You can. You got to endure. You got to pull your strength from the Holy Spirit. You got to know the Word. Then you can have the behaviors that are Christ-pleasing. You have the thoughts that are Christ-pleasing. And anything else you can push away through the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? And then he gives us this really cool picture. He says, I'm armed. I got a weapon in my right hand and a weapon in my left hand. That's a cool picture, ain't it? Makes me think of the Seabees. Anyone know about the Seabees, the Navy Seabees? Yeah, they got the patch. They got the thing. Larry, what can you tell us about the Seabees? Construction battalion. All you need to know, guys. That class dismissed. God bless you. No, construction battalion, man. That's a really cool patch. I think they still have it. Insignia thing. It's the bee, the bumblebee, and he's got a Thompson submachine gun in one hand. Yeah, he does. You don't want to mess around with this bumblebee. He's got a Thompson submachine gun in one hand, and he's got a hammer in the other hand. Right, Larry? Is that right? Okay. See? I just think that's a cool picture. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. No, the construction battalion guys, man, they got a job to do. They have to do this. They have to build this runway. They have to set this thing up for the soldiers that are coming in. They have to do this. But at the same time, they might have to fight. And they probably will have to fight. But they're prepared for whatever comes their way. And they're going to get the job done no matter what the cost. You see what I'm saying? Because people are counting on them. People are counting on us too, man. And people are counting on us. And people need us to walk the walk, talk the talk. Kind of tough to do, but if we want to, we can do that, right? Because we can have the sword of the Spirit. We can have the shield of faith. God gives us all these things, man, to repel the attacks of Satan, where we want to believe negative stuff or give in to temptation or just say life is too hard or, man, I'm just done with this. You know, you don't have to believe any of that stuff, man. You repel it with the Word of God. Amen? You repel it with the truth of Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? By truthful speech and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. That is just cool. Romans 13, verse 14. There you go. Rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So put on Jesus. It's kind of the what would Jesus do thing. You know what I mean? Man, I'm putting on Jesus. All right? I'm not going to be a fake. I'm not going to be a phony. Well, last week you was doing this and doing that. Now you're talking about Jesus. Well, that was last week. I'm a new creation. And anyways, this is where I'm going, man. I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm putting on Jesus. I'm standing on his word. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So it boils down to this, even when we're going through hard times. Who do you want to please? Do you want to look cool to everybody else? Do you want to please yourself? Or do you want to do the right thing? Do you want to please the Most High God? He already loves you. He's not going to love you any more than he loves you right now. If you're in that family, man, you are his child. You know what I mean? If you have truly accepted him. But some of us, all of us, maybe, I don't know, I know me, I'm not always living in the place I need to be, man. You know what I mean? Straddling that fence. It's not a good testimony. Can I get a witness? Okay. For the right hand and for the left hand, through honor and dishonor. This is kind of cool. Apostle Paul continues for a minute. Oh, sometimes I go into town, everybody's like, hey, Apostle Paul, man, good to see you, man. Man, your letters have been circulated. So awesome to see you, man. Heard so much about you. You know, sometimes he gets that honor. Sometimes there's that dishonor. Huh? Dude, you need to split. We don't want your kind around here. Through honor and dishonor, we don't give up. Through slander and praise. Isn't that cool? Well, these people down the way talking all kinds of trash about me that ain't even true. But you know what? The good Lord knows what's going on. And God is good, right? No matter what. I mean, look at what this cat has went through, man, for the gospel. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as imposters. That's something the Apostle Paul had to definitely deal with. You know what I mean? Hey, Paul, you weren't part of the original 12, man. Hey, you didn't walk around with Jesus Christ back in the day. Hey, man, you used to kill us people, you know? He didn't fit in with both sides sometimes, you know? The Hebrews didn't dig on him sometimes. The Gentiles might not dig on him sometimes. But you know what? He is the real deal. He was the real deal, man. He was ordained by Jesus Christ. Let me tell you guys something. It does not matter what other people think about you. Listen to me. Somebody in here might need to hear that. I need to hear it sometimes. It doesn't matter how other people perceive you. It doesn't matter what other people think about you. It doesn't matter how close of a relationship they are to you. It doesn't matter what they think about you. What does the Most High God think about you? You know, the Most High God knows that you are His masterpiece, and He loves you, and yes, He's still working on you, and you're not going to be perfect on this side of Jordan. You know what I mean? But here we are on the sanctification station. He's working on us. Life ain't always easy, but God is good, and He is faithful, and He loves you with an undying love. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as imposters, and yet we are true. We know who we are. We know who we are. We are followers of Jesus Christ. I don't care what you think about my past. I don't care what you think about nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that person. Yet are true as unknown and yet well known. Hey, man, you might not get your name up in lights, but guess what? The creator of the universe gets a smile on his face when he says your name, and he says your name often. He thinks about you as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live. Paul's like, man, sometimes it's like we're just going to die, man. We've been through so much stuff, but I'm still here. I'm still here. And guess what, guys? If we're here, if we're still here, we still have a job to do, Christians. If we're still here, we still have a job to do. We can't give up. Well, Paul, life's been so rough and tough this year. Man, I dig it. I understand it. I know I have not walked a mile in your shoes. I have not. But I know that God's word is true, and I know that He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak, because I witnessed it and felt it myself. Amen? And dying, and behold, we live. You ever seen that movie, We Live? It's called They Live. Rowdy Roddy Piper was in it. It's an awesome jam. We're going to watch it Wednesday night. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're not going to watch it. Anyways, moving forward, right? 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 8. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as imposters, and yet we are true. Unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed. Remember that. As punished and not yet killed. You know what, man? We go through a lot of torment and pain and stuff like that. But look, here's the deal. This is just a really cool way to look at it, and it's the truth. You're going to be here as long as the good Lord needs you to be here, okay? No weapon formed against you can take you out until the good Lord says, okay, it's time to take my baby home. It's time to take my child home, okay? And at that moment, it doesn't really matter what you want to do about it, but it's time to get your reward. You know what I mean? And it's nothing but good. You know what the good book says? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know what I mean? To Christians, and I don't mean to sound insensitive, but to Christians, man, it is a win-win for us. It truly is. You know what I mean? Think about your loved ones, man. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know what I mean? It's a win-win for us. You know, the Apostle Paul struggled with that himself. Like, I'd like to stay, but I want to stay to be here for you guys. It'd be better for me if I go, and I kind of want to go. It's a win-win for Christians, no matter what, okay? Death, where is your sting? Isn't that a great feeling? Raise your hands. Isn't that a great feeling to know? You might have a temporal, minuscule pinch, some little pain there at the end. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But guess what, man? It's nothing compared to what we experience for all eternity, man. We have such an amazing reason to be optimistic no matter what we're going through. All right. Okay. as imposters and yet true, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Hey, if anybody had an honest-to-goodness natural reason why he could be in a bad mood and depressed and discouraged, it would be this Apostle Paul guy who was going through so much stuff all the time. But he endured. Man, he said, I have a reason to be discouraged, but you know what? I'm rejoicing. Why, man? Because he knows that God is good. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? We always have a reason to rejoice. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Well, how in the world can I do that? How can I do that? Man, we're just focusing on the wrong stuff. But I'm telling you, man, if we focus on the right stuff, man, we can have peace, real peace. Honestly, I'm not lying to you. We can have peace no matter what's going on. I've witnessed it myself. I felt it myself. And perhaps you have as well, man, where nothing's really going right. But I'm refusing to give up. I'm trusting in God. And he can give you peace and even joy during the craziest times of your life. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Why rejoicing? What is another reason why Paul could rejoice? Even though he's being beaten up all the time and he's being imprisoned and all this stuff going on. Man, because he is bearing major fruit, man. When we persevere through the trials, we're going to bear fruit. We're going to be able to lead people to Christ. We're going to be able to plant those seeds, man. Because I'm not going to give up. Satan's going to try and distract you and knock you off course and say, nah, you weren't meant to talk to that guy about Jesus. Just go back and enjoy your Whataburger. Okay, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. I like that. As poor, yet making many rich. Hey, man, there's nothing more valuable than having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What a wonderful thing to be excited about in our near future, right? You might not have $1,000 in the bank. You might not have $14,000 in the bank. You might not have $10 in the bank. But guess what? If you have Jesus Christ, you literally have everything you need. You do, man. You do, because I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. True statement, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Man, God takes care of his people. You might not have what you want. You might not have what you need when you think you need it. But God will be there, and God will make sure everything works out. Trust in him. Can I get a witness? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, leading many people to salvation, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. Man, you might only have the clothes on your back. You might have to turn them inside out every other Sunday when you come up here. I don't know. I do not know. But I know if you have Jesus, you have everything you need, man. And he's going to take care of you. So let's make sure we're not looking at the other folks and saying, man, well, good Lord loves him more than he loves me. No, that dude's just working hard for what he has. You know, work hard for what you have. And you know what? Trust in God and he'll give you what you need. Amen? We don't have to worry about what other people have. Can I get a witness? All right, John 6 and verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's only one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. And life can be awful hard and awful brutal, and there can be all kinds of temptations. But you know what? Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation. There's a lot of easier paths out there, but none of them are going to lead to eternal life. And so with that last verse, what's going on here is, man, all these masses of followers, man, just start leaving Jesus. He had these huge crowds, man, that were there for the free cotton candy and the fireworks display after the show and all that. Not literally for that stuff, but they were there for the bennies, man. They were there for the cool stuff. They were like, yeah, man, you should be here yesterday. This dude was deaf and now he can hear. Now this guy couldn't talk and now he won't shut up. They were like just seeing all this cool stuff, man. And it was really awesome. And people were eating really well around Jesus. A lot of these people, man, were very malnourished back then. And here's Jesus saying, man, they're eating until they were satisfied. And you know what? I'll listen to a 3-hour sermon if I can eat and be satisfied at the end of it. You know what I mean? So they are around for the benefits, man, for the coolness. For them, this is awesome. But man, when they found out it could really cost them something, man, let's not hold any punches. This Jesus Christ thing, it can cost you something. It can cost you your life. It can cost you your friends. It can cost you a lot of stuff. Amen. Jesus makes it very plain and simple. Okay? He don't hold back any punches. Okay, so everybody left, except for these a handful of disciples. And Jesus was like, so what's up with you guys, man? Simon says this. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Only you have the way. Only Jesus Christ has the way, guys. And that's just how it is. Okay? So I want to bring that forward one more time. Christians, we want to persevere. We don't want to give up. I know life's brutal sometimes, but God is faithful. So don't give up. Trust in Him. Lean on Him. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, there is only one way to the Father. There is only one way to eternal life, and that is through Jesus Christ. Okay? You want to accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and you want to do that today. So if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, I just want to give anybody and everybody an opportunity to come on up here, and I would love to pray with you guys. Don't worry about what people are going to think about you, because everybody in here is going to just be totally excited about it. You know what I mean? Don't worry about it. We're not ashamed of the gospel. That's where the power is. Okay? If you're tired of being discouraged, if you're tired of things not working out, come to Jesus. It's not the easy road, but it's the only road that leads to eternal life. Don't think, well, I gotta get off the dope first. No, don't worry about that. I'm not saying it's cool to be on the dope. You know, yeah. I'm saying you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, and He'll deal with all that stuff, man. He'll work with you on all that stuff. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. We love you and we praise you. Thank you, Father God, if there is somebody in here this morning that has not accepted you as their Lord and Savior, they will do so today before the sun goes down. Thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you for that favor in our lives that we clearly do not deserve, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your blessings, Father God. Thank you that you give us strength and endurance for the race, Lord, that we won't give up, that we will be that example. Thank you that we will have a burden for a lost and dying world. We will have love for our Christian brothers and sisters, and we will have love and compassion and tender hearts for a lost and dying world, and we will love you with everything that we are, Lord. We love you, and we praise you. Thank you for your peace and your joy and your blessings and your trials and your storms and your correction. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So, it's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. I'm so...